personality of Jesus in our lives, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We've looked at love, we've looked at joy. Next week, it's peace. Sounds like a good one, doesn't it? If you need peace, you know where to come next week for some peace. Yeah. Trudy's claiming that one already. We've been roughly alternating each week between a gift and a fruit, trying to get balance as we look at these different things. We're going to look at today at another one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at prophecy. It's a two-part talk. This is part one. Part two is in a couple of weeks' time as we look to learn more about this gift of the Holy Spirit, prophecy. And really, it also fits in with the two talks we've had previously about speaking in tongues. Kind of forms a kind of flow and builds on that. So if you missed those, then grab the tapes from Andy at the back there afterwards. They're free to borrow and a pound to buy. Let's pray. Lord, as we come, Lord, to find out more about your Holy Spirit, we're asking that you give us revelation. We're asking that your Holy Spirit himself would teach us. We're asking this morning that you would help us not just find out about, not just get our knowledge increased, but actually we would experience and taste and see and know and take on board, Lord, more about you this morning. And so open our spirits, Lord, today. We're here and we're asking that you'd speak to every single one of us. Lord, we just still our hearts for a moment in your presence. We put aside thoughts that may be crowding in. We put them aside, Lord, to focus in on you. Lord, help us today. Lord, we're seeking your face. We're seeking you. Jesus, you are the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And so, Jesus, we're asking you today, freshly, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. A few weeks, but I think about 12 days before the tragic death of Princess Diana. Princess Diana and Dodi, they went to see a clairvoyant. And they came out smiling after their consultation with this clairvoyant. Smiling at the apparent good news they received for their happy future together. Tragically, only what, 12 days later, they were both dead. There's a curiosity in all of us to want to know the future. There's something that is in all of us that wants to know what's going to happen next week, next year, what's the future hold for any one of us. There's a curiosity in us. In the Bible, God's specifically forbidden us from seeking any guidance about the future outside of coming to God. Because the devil is very, very good at deceiving people. In fact, if a clairvoyant or someone, astrology or some any means of divination, of finding out about the future, that you can find part truths. There may be some things you think, oh yeah, that's true, and oh yeah, that's true. But the devil only deals in part truths. And the devil gives us little tidbits to draw us on into a web of deception. And God is the only one who fully knows the future. The future is in God's hands. God is the sovereign God. And so he has got the details of the future in his hand. And so in our desire to know anything about the future, the only one to come to is God. Because anything he tells us is going to be for our good. It's not going to be to entice us and lead us into a web of deception, as the devil would do. But it is for our good. If you ask God about the future, have you ever done that? What should I do about this, God? What should I do about this? What about that, God? I don't know whether you notice, but God kind of sometimes keeps quite quiet about things. And sometimes only gives you the next step. God is wise. He's obviously all wise. And he knows we can only cope with certain things at certain times. And God will lead us step by step. God will show us things about the future. But it's in his time, as he wants to show us, because we can't go with a wish list to God. We can't go demanding God for things about the future. Like you would go to a palm reader or a tarot card or whatever else. God isn't like that. God will show us what he wants to show us in his time, step by step. Because our relationship with God is by faith, it's by trust. The actual nature of it is it's a faith, trust thing. So because of that, we can't demand from God any details of the future. God wants us to live every day to the full, and he will show us and lead us as he wants to about the future. We're talking today about the gift of prophecy, particularly about New Testament prophecy. And prophecy is God's revelation where God speaks to us something about either the future God wants to say or about the now God wants to say. It's some communication from God. And it could be concerning the now, or it could be concerning the future. But it's revelation from God. That's this thing of prophecy we're talking about. It could be foretelling, looking to the future, or forthtelling about something now God wants to say into our lives now. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is mentioned in 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Romans chapter 12, book of 1 Timothy, the book of Acts. In fact, the prophecy has been described as the most gift, the most gift. The reason is it's the most mentioned. In all the lists of gifts of the Holy Spirit, the one that comes up again and again and again is this gift of prophecy. It's mentioned more than the others. It's been highlighted. Prophecy has been important. It's the most explained gift. Paul devotes more space in the Bible to explaining the gift of prophecy than any other gift. Because it's so important, Paul gives it plenty of space in explaining this gift of prophecy. It's the most explained gift. It's also the most edifying, the most building up, the most encouraging of gifts for the church, as Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 14. And it's the most available to all the church. We see that in Joel 2 and Acts 2. We're going to look at it in a bit more detail in a moment. And it's the most promoted of gifts. Paul singles it out from all the gifts and says, this is a gift you need to go for. This gift, prophecy, is something for you all to go and get and use and exercise. This gift is important for you all. Prophecy, the prophetic, is basically some kind of communication from God that we receive. It can be a picture, it can be an impression, it can be a feeling, it can be some words, it can be a scripture coming to mind. It can be some sense, some God gives some sense that there's some importance in something that God wants to communicate through us. Now, the Apostle Paul thought this was important. Listen to what he said to his son in the faith, Timothy. This is what Paul said to Timothy. Now, Timothy was a young church leader. He was a teenager, 18, 19 years old, at this kind of time. And Paul said to him this. Paul said, do you remember that a while ago we laid hands on you, prayed, and prophecies were given over your life? God spoke something over Timothy's life through Paul, through others of the elders. Said the elders gathered around, laid hands on Paul, on this guy Timothy, and commissioned him. And there were some personal prophecies. Some things came that were God saying that were important for Timothy's life. And Paul said, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you the instructions, which is the book of 1 Timothy. Those are the instructions that he's given. Paul is now writing the instructions for Timothy. In keeping with the prophecies once made about you. You see, a while ago, Timothy had received some prophecies. So other people, the elders, other prophets, people had gathered around. They'd spoken over Timothy's life. And Paul was saying, do you remember what they were? I'm giving you these instructions in keeping, in harmony with. In other words, they will remind you about the prophecies that you received. So that by following them, in other words, the prophecies that you'd received, putting those prophecies into practice, doing what God had said him to do, you may fight the good fight. In other words, he's saying, Timothy, if you're going to be successful in doing what you've called to do, you're going to need to do what God's told you to do. In other words, the things that God's told you to do through prophecy, you've got to put them into practice. You better get on and do them. Because you need to do those things if you're going to be able to fight the good fight. If you're going to be able to do the things that God's called him to do. So do you see how Paul is kind of emphasizing to this young church leader the importance of prophecy for his life? He's reminding him of those. And other parts in Timothy, he goes on about this prophecy. It's very, very important. On Saturday the 12th of June, we've got Nola Richards coming for the day from 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. A few little breaks in between. But we've come and she's going to help us. She's a gifted prophet. And she's going to help us grow in prophecy. I really would ask that you arrange childcare. If you've got children, arrange childcare to make that day free. To come along on Saturday the 12th of June, because we won't be repeating that day at another point, because it's going to be quite expensive to put on to arrange and facilitate that day. It's going to be kind of a one-off opportunity to grow in terms of this stuff of personal prophecy that Paul's talking to Timothy about here. So please, it's the 12th of June. Please mark it down in your diary. I think it'd be an important time for us all. Now, just a background to what we'll talk about today. We're going to be looking in the book of 1 Corinthians, where Paul talks about prophecy in detail. But as background, I want to contrast for a minute Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy. In the Old Testament, the prophets were special men and women. There was only a few, sometimes only one prophet at any one time. The Spirit was on them in a way different than the way he's in us. They were spiritual leaders, the Old Testament prophets, in the way that New Testament prophets aren't. The words of Old Testament prophets were often recorded. Words of New Testament prophets weren't. The words that they spoke from God were written down. The words of Samuel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. They had authority, special kind of authority in the Old Testament. Their words were predictive in a very complex way. And if an Old Testament prophet got it wrong, if they said something was going to happen, it didn't, they were taken out and stoned. So the kind of margin for error was pretty thin in the Old Testament prophets' days. Their words were 100% literally true, and they were recorded in the Bible. Now, New Testament prophecy is different. There's a link, though, because out of the foundations of Old Testament prophecy, New Testament prophecy comes. There's a link. And if you've got your Bibles, you want to turn to Numbers in chapter 11. In Numbers chapter 11, there's this story of how Moses needs some help. There's Moses, he's the leader, and there's about 2 million Israelites. One leader, 2 million people. Tricky management job that was. Moses was finding it hard work. As you can imagine, if you were looking after 2 million people, Moses was finding it tough. And so he had the idea of sharing the burden with 72 other people, the other leaders. So the other 72 leaders were got together, and then God poured out, in Numbers 11, verse 24 to 30, God poured out the Holy Spirit on those 72 leaders so that they could also be help to lead the people of God, because Moses couldn't do it all on his own. Now, something happened there that two of them weren't with the others, and so that they got filled with the Holy Spirit separately in another place. Anyway, one of the things that comes out of this passage is this quote I've put down here from Numbers 11:29, where Moses, where we see the heart of Moses about because Moses had the Spirit of God upon him. He was a prophet. These 72 other leaders had the Spirit of God upon them. They were prophesying. And we see right here in the heart, in the start of the Old Testament, we see a link between the Spirit of God and prophecy. Because the Spirit of God came upon those 72 people and they prophesied. This is what Moses said. I wish that all the Lord's people, this is the heart of Moses here. He said, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and the Lord would put his Spirit on them all. Because Moses thought, what I've got is fantastic. What these 72 leaders have got is fantastic. They've got the very Spirit of God on our lives. It's a privilege. It's wonderful. We can hear God. This is fantastic. We can prophesy. We can communicate what God is on God's heart. That's all prophecy is communicating what's on God's heart. And so Moses was longing, but not just him. Do you see Moses' heart here? What a humble man. He wasn't kind of spiritually proud. Look, I've got something you haven't got. I'm the person you aren't. His heart was, what I've got is so fantastic. I want you all to have it. And so Moses, as a prophet himself here, was actually longing for the church. Right back in Numbers, the heart of Moses was that all God's people would have the Spirit and all God's people would prophesy. They'd all be prophets. You see, there was something brewing in the heart of Moses here. I believe God put that in Moses' heart. It wasn't kind of Moses' bright idea, but Moses, as a prophet, was speaking the very words of God. And it was something here saying, I'm longing for something to happen. Hundreds of years later, another prophet, a prophet Joel, he picks up what Moses was saying, and he brings it as a promise. So it started off as a longing. So this started off as the longing in the heart of a prophet. And now another prophet, Joel, brings it as a promise of God. This is God speaking through the prophet Joel. And he says, I will. God is promising. God is saying he's going to do this. Hundreds of years after Moses died, I will pour out my spirit on all people, all God's people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour my spirit in those days. We're going to look at dreams and visions another time. Come back to that. But today we're looking at prophecy. So your sons and daughters will prophesy. Even on my servants, men and women, I will pour my spirit in those days. So it was a promise that the Holy Spirit was to be poured out on all God's people, and that men and women, daughters, sons, everyone was going to prophesy. So what started in Numbers 11 as a longing in the heart of Moses, here comes as a firm promise in the mouth of Joel the prophet. A few hundred years later, 400 years later, what happened? 400 years later, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Everyone spoke in tongues. 120 people were in the upper room. They all spoke in tongues. The Holy Spirit came and anointed them, touched their life, filled them in a new way that had never been experienced before. Not even Moses or anyone had experienced it like that. Peter gets up to explain what had happened. Peter gets up to explain to the crowd that had gathered what had happened on that day. And he's saying, this is what's happened. God says, and he's quoting Joel. So Peter here, the apostle Peter, knows what Joel has prophesied. And he's saying, what was prophesied 400, 500 years ago, it's now. It's look, this is what's happening now. It's what's happening today. God's doing it now in front of us, in front of your very eyes. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all my people, all 120. It wasn't just a few leaders. It was all the God's people. Everyone at that time that loved Jesus was gathered in that room, 120 of them. They all got the Holy Spirit. It says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. You see the link? Holy Spirit poured out on prophecy again and again and again. First Moses said it, then Joel said it, and now Peter is reiterating it, he's quoting it. He's saying, when the Holy Spirit's poured out, then you will prophesy. What will mark the church out is a people who prophesy. What will be a characteristic of the church is there will be a people who can speak the very words of God by revelation. That's what makes the church special. That's what makes the church different. The hallmark of the church will be a people that can communicate directly with God. We don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to go to find the holy person of God, man or woman of God. But individually, we can each hear the voice of God. And that's what makes the church special. And that's what Peter says. It's now happening. It started today and it's gone on for these last 2,000 years. Very exciting. Just to compare, we started comparing Old Testament and New Testament prophecy. Just to finish that kind of comparison off. In New Testament prophecy, it's not just one or two special people, but all God's people can prophesy. But it hasn't got the same authority. It doesn't carry the same authoritative kind of imperative that the Old Testament prophecy did, which we'll talk about in a moment. It's not written down on the whole, and the thing about in the New Testament is it's subject to human influence. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says, we prophesy in part. In other words, in the Old Testament, it was 100% right or wrong. If you were wrong, you were stoned. If you were right, you were a true prophet. In the New Testament, it's a gift that's open to all God's people. And so he says, we prophesy in part. In other words, that our prophecy is not the 100% stuff of the Old Testament. It's a sense of this is what we think God's saying. This is what we feel God leading. This is the sort of things we feel God saying. In other words, it doesn't carry the same authority. In the Old Testament, it was authoritative. It was written down as the very actual words of God. In the New Testament, it's this is what we think God is saying. This is what we feel God may be saying about a certain situation. Do you see the difference between the two? One is completely black and white authoritative. The other one is a sense of this is what we feel God's saying. We prophesy in part. And Paul goes on to explain that we need to therefore judge the prophecy. We need to weigh the prophecy. We need to test the prophecy to choose to see what of what's been said is from God. In other words, there's an element where we go, where prophecy is alongside us. It isn't above us, it's alongside us. And we can look at it, and we can with ways of evaluating, which we'll look at next time. Is this what God's saying? If it is what God's saying, what do I need to do about it? And so it doesn't carry the same kind of weight. It's important. It mustn't be ignored. Paul said, don't despise prophecy. Some people in the early church think, you know, all this prophecy stuff, it's not quite as good as the Old Testament prophecy. It's a bit kind of watery, not quite the same fire stuff. And they're kind of looking down on it. Paul says, don't despise prophecy. Test it. See what's good. See what of the prophecy is good. If someone gives you a prophecy, don't just dismiss it out of hand. Test it. See it. Evaluate it. See what of it, what's said is good. What's not good, let drop to the ground. What is good, then believe it. Why is prophecy important? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is Paul's explanation to the Corinthians about the importance of prophecy. And he starts off with this. He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So he's highlighting prophecy as something to go for, to desire. In other words, it's not something to be passive about. Well, if God gives it me, great. If not, fine. He's saying there's something here actually to desire, something here to go for, something here to reach out for, something here to strive for. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. If you look at the end of the chapter, same chapter, chapter 14 and verse 39, it says this. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy. Be eager. There's a sense Paul's saying is be on the edge of your seat. Be available to God to be able to prophesy. Be expectant. Be eager. Be there, not passive. See, with the Holy Spirit, we can either be passive or active. If we're passive, we kind of sit there and say, well, you know, I wonder what God's going to do today. Let's sort of see what's happening. Paul's saying be eager, which means get on the edge of your seat, use your faith, and see what God is saying. There's something to go for. There's something to reach for. There's something to use your faith and receive, which is this thing of prophecy. Also, if you go back to 14 and verse 5, chapter 14 and verse 5, he said this, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. He's talking about personal use there. But in church, he says, but I'd rather have you prophesy. And he wants everyone to prophesy. There's a desire. Paul, it's something for us all to be able to do is to prophesy. In the same book, in verse 31, he says this. You can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. You can all prophesy in turn. He was worried about everyone just jumping up and prophesying all at the same time. It just being chaos, everyone prophesying all at once. He's saying, no, take turns. You can all prophesy in turn. And he's saying everyone can be encouraged, instructed and encouraged rather. So prophecy, that's prophecy. Why is prophecy important? Well, prophecy is important because prophecy is for our strengthening, encouragement and comfort. Look at verse 3 of chapter 14. Verse 3 says this. Everyone who prophesies speaks to men and women, for their strengthening, encouragement and comfort. And in the verse 31, we also learn it's for instruction and encouragement. But whatever, there's a sense that the reason why prophecy is so important is that the church, if ever we need anything, it's we need encouragement. Do you need encouragement? Do you need comfort? Do you need strengthening on the inside? Yes, of course you do. Do you need it once a year? No. Do you need it once a month? No. Once a week? We need it regularly. We need strengthening, encouragement and comfort on a regular basis. We need to be built up. If we're going to be able to face the challenges at work or raising our children or at college or housing or finance, whatever the challenges we face, we're going to need strength on the inside. We're going to need encouragement. We're going to need comfort when things are hard. And therefore, Paul's saying, the reason this gift has been given to the church is so that can flow in the church. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, so good. Fantastic. Now, well, let's look at verse 4, because verse 4 is a key one for us to look at today. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. I'll just go put it up here for us. It says this. Now, we talked about speaking in tongues before and about speaking in tongues for personal use and public use. And Paul is talking here about speaking in tongues for personal use. He who speaks in tongue edifies himself. Now, that means builds up, strengthens, encourages himself. If I feel down, if I feel defeated by things that happen, if I think things are tough, I can go in my bedroom and I can speak in tongues and I will be built up. I will be strengthened. I will be encouraged. I'll be able to face whatever it is that I need to face. So God's given me a gift for my own personal encouragement, strengthening, and comfort. Praise God. And you can pray in tongues anytime. Walking down the street, on the bus, quietly under your breath, of course. You can pray in tongues anytime you like. When you need strengthening, encouragement, and comfort, God has given you a gift. It's a tool. You can use it. But there's another gift, and it's the gift of prophecy. And the gift of prophecy is for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Edification is to build up on the inside. But it's for the church. In other words, one is for me, and the other one is for you. So the beauty of prophecy is I don't benefit. If I prophesy over you, I don't benefit. Well, I do benefit because I get God's blessing for obeying him and stepping out. But it's you that benefits. In other words, if I prophesy over your life, if I bring a prophecy to the cell group or to the church or to another person, it's the other people that are blessed. It's the other people that are encouraged. It's the other people that are built up. And you see, that's the heart of God is that we would be a community that would be more concerned about each other than about ourselves. That's what it means to be church. To be church is to be orientated, thinking about the needs of others above the needs of myself. So I'm not thinking, what can I get out of this? How can I be edified? How can I be built up? How can I be made stronger? But how can I strengthen other people? How can I comfort other people? How can I encourage other people? God has given you a tool. It's called prophecy. So do you see why prophecy is so important? Because there is always a need amongst us for encouragement, strengthening, and comfort. You can never wake up one morning and think, well, today there's no need to encourage, strengthen, and comfort my friends. Not at all. Every morning there's always going to be a need. There's always going to be something. There's always fresh challenges. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. There's always going to be something, some aspect of our lives challenging us. And so I'm going to need you to prophesy of my life. Because I'm going to need strength, encouragement, and comfort. And you need the person next to you to prophesy over your life. You see, in God's economy, how God has created the church community to be something where we're not independent, going off doing our own thing. I'll prophesy over myself. I'll lay hands on myself and I'll prophesy over me. No. Prophecy is something where the motivation is you say what you feel God's saying over the life of another person or group of people. And that is the key. See, the key to prophecy is love. Because all it is basically if I can't be bothered, if I think, well, I can't be bothered to prophesy, then what I'm saying is it's I am selfish and I want to be blessed. I want to be encouraged. I've got problems. Why can't I be strengthened? Why can't I be encouraged? Why can't I be comforted? If I have that attitude, then I've missed it. Because the only way that God's made the church to work, the only way God's made any small group, cell group to work, the only way any relationships work is if those people in that relationship are going to give selflessly and out of love. Then it will work. Without that, it won't work. If one party is wanting to suck like a vacuum cleaner, suck up anything that's going around, and not being willing to give and bless and think outside of themselves, then we've missed it. We've missed the whole thing of love. The whole thing of love is I'm going to put my needs to one side, how I feel to one side, what I need in my life to one side, and I'm going to love you more than I love myself. That's what it is. That's what Christian life's about, isn't it? Simple, bottom line, very simple Christianity. It's the most challenging thing is that God's called us to live a life of selflessness. That I will love you enough to put aside how I feel to reach out and touch your life with the love of God. And the tool that God's given us to do that is the gift of prophecy. And so we can all prophesy. That's what we've been through. We've seen it again and again and again. If we look this morning, it's a gift for us all to use. It's a tool. It's like just a spanner to pick up and use. And the motivation is simply love. Simply, I care. It's just the motivation for prophecy is simply, I care about you. And because I care, I'm going to listen, see what God wants to say to encourage you. That's all that there is. It's really simple to manage prophecy. I've known some people who have been saved a very short, become a Christian, a very short period of time, been able to prophesy straight away. It's not something you have to kind of work up to and think, right, I'm going to take a good run at this. A good few years, I need to kind of get myself ready before I'm going to prophesy. As people were filled with the Holy Spirit, they prophesied immediately. Some of the things recorded in the book of Acts, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and immediately prophesied. A few years ago, a number of us went to Tajikistan we were doing a missions trip to this village, this town called Panjikent. Went to cell group after cell group, praying for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Went to one cell group of all men. Their society is segregated, men and women separate. And went to one cell group of all men. And we went, prayed, laid hands on them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone so far we prayed for had all been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues, just straight away, everyone. Came to the cell group, and everyone in that group was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they just prophesied. They didn't speak in tongues. They prophesied. Every single one of them. It's like sort of the Holy Spirit of prophecy was kind of on these men. What they came out was with prophecy. I was trying to get them to speak in tongues. I was getting a bit frustrated, but I remember God's in charge. It's not me. But they were just, you know, just brand new, just straight out, be able to prophesy. Yeah, because it's a tool. That's the thing we've got to remember. It's simply a tool. It's not something you have to be spiritual for or kind of work up for or fast and pray for. But prophecy is simply a tool, and we use it if we care. Simple as that. That's all there is to prophecy. It's simply love. Now, we're going to look next time. There's three levels of prophecy. The Bible talks about this all prophecy, where everyone can prophesy. And then there's a more developed gift of prophecy that only some of us will have, more specific, regular use of the gift of prophecy. And then there's the office of a prophet. And Nola Richard, who visits us, is recognized. She's a woman who's recognized by the churches across continents, across many countries, as being a prophet. And so she's the office of a prophet. There's different kind of levels of prophecy. But at this level of we can all prophesy, this level of prophecy where everyone can hear what God's saying, that's what we're talking about today. And all we have to do is use our faith. Everyone here has got faith. God has given you a measure of faith. You have got faith. But Paul says in Romans 12, prophesy in proportion to your faith. If you've got more faith, prophesy more. If you've got less faith, then you don't have to prophesy so much. But whatever, you've got to prophesy because you've got some faith. Everyone here has got faith. God's given you faith. And so you can prophesy. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Okay? If you're born again, if you belong to God, you can hear his voice. And so how does prophecy come? Prophecy comes, a word dropped into my mind, an impression, a feeling, a picture, some image, a vision. Some kind of scripture just comes straight into my heart. A word from the Bible. Something. Now, all those things are very subjective, aren't they? They're very kind of, well, you know, how do you know that's God? Just getting a feeling, an impression, a kind of thing. The whole thing point says we prophesy in part. And if I believe that I'm listening to God, if my faith is God, here I am and I'm listening to you, then I believe that my sheep hear my voice. God, as a sheep of Jesus, I'm part of his pasture, I can hear what God's saying. So if I'm just going to quiet my spirit, quiet myself down, I can hear what God's saying. So to prophesy is easy. All I need to do is first of all, I just need to quiet myself down. Just put aside thoughts of other things. So I'm focused on God. I'm single kind of mind. My heart and my mind are single focused. It's on God. Put aside other things. I just quiet my spirit down, quiet myself down to listen to God. And then all I need to do is just be really quiet on the inside. Believe, use my faith. Use the faith that God's given me that I can hear what God's saying. So I'm believing that as I'm listening to God, I say, God, I'm listening to you. Here I am. I'm your child. I'm your servant. I'm listening to you. I'm praying for my friend, someone in the cell group, a friend, person in the family. I'm praying for them. God, what is it you want to say to encourage this person? What is it you want to say today that will build them up, strengthen them, and encourage them? And whatever the thing that comes to your mind, could be an impression, it could be a picture, it could be a verse in the Bible, it could be something will come into your mind. Whatever comes into your mind, we believe it's God. Because it's God speaks to faith. God doesn't speak to doubt, God speaks to faith. So as I believe, as I start to believe that God is speaking to me, whatever it is, the picture I get, I say, well, God, this impression, this picture, this word, what is it you want to say from this to encourage that person? God gives me an impression, a picture. Say I'm praying for Rob. As I'm praying for Rob, I'm saying, God, I just want to ask that you give me something to encourage Rob today. And as I'm praying, I just get this picture flashing into my mind of a light bulb. And I say, well, God, Holy Spirit, what is it you want to say, you know, through this? What were you trying to show me, to communicate to Rob? And the Holy Spirit is supposed to say something like, I want you to just show me that I'm shining like a light. I'm shining into the path to show him the way ahead in his life. I pick up the phone, I write a card and say, Rob, I feel that God wants to encourage you. You can't go wrong with words like that. And he just wants you to know that he's shining his light ahead in your path and he's going to show you the steps ahead. Now, saying that to Rob, that kind of thing, it's very encouraging. Anytime he'd be encouraged. But if particularly that particular week he was going through a real struggle, thinking, I'm not sure, should I go this way or this way? If you suddenly get something like that out of the blue, he's going to think, fantastic, God really knows that I'm going through a specific situation. And he's spoken to Paul, and Paul's let me know. That is just so fantastic. And so he's encouraged and strengthened and comforted in what he's going through. That is normal Christianity. That is normal church life. That every day, flowing amongst the church, we're looking for that kind of prophetic revelation, that kind of level, that kind of encouragement, that kind of strengthening, that kind of comfort. That it's happening in our family. It's happening in our cell group. It's happening across the church. That when we gather together, we expect that to happen. When you come to your cell group, expect that to happen. People will have that kind of prophetic encouragement for different people in the group, or for the whole group. On Sunday mornings, that we expect opportunity to come. And it's lovely that people do come and share the things they feel God's saying, which is really encouraging and really exciting. But there's more opportunity for that. And that during the week, that you can give people a text, you can send them a card, you can give them a phone call and say, I was praying for you and I just felt God wanted to encourage you and whatever it is you want to say. The thing is, what you're not saying is you're not presenting something heavy or kind of on someone's life, but you're looking to encourage them. You're looking to strengthen, you're looking to build them up. You see why prophecy is so important and so easy? Because we all need it so, so much. God wants to use you and me every week to strengthen and encourage lots of us here amongst us. And so God's not meant it so I've got to go away and encourage myself and get strength in myself. God's meant it so that I receive a flow all the time of strength and encouragement come from you. And that you all the time are receiving strength, encouragement come from other people. As that happens, start in your cell group. As that happens, then you find that all our faith, we're all encouraged, we're all lifted up, and we're all strengthened. Let's stand up, shall we? I'm just going to read out again what Peter said. God's promise, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. It's a promise. It's a promise from God that he will pour out his spirit. He has done that. God has poured out his spirit upon our lives. We have received the Holy Spirit upon our lives. And so that goes together. Prophecy and receiving the Spirit go together. And so we can prophesy. You can hear God. You can hear God's voice to bless other people. Every single one of us can do that. Every single one of us can hear God's voice to bless other people, to encourage them, to strengthen and comfort them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to ask, first of all, that we just receive fresh of the Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians 5 and 6, it talks about being filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. Filled again and filled again. Lift our hands. Lift our hands this morning. Oh, Lord. Pour out your Spirit freshly upon your people, Lord. Here we are. We're your people. We are your very people. We're the people that you've included in your family. Here we are, Lord. We belong to you. We're your children. We're the very children of God. And Lord, we receive this morning freshly your Holy Spirit filling our lives. Just drink in. Allow. Use your faith. Say, thank you, God. Don't wait to feel anything. Just use your faith and say, thank you. I receive. Holy Spirit of God, I receive. I receive your filling. I receive your filling today. Fresh, I receive your filling, Lord. Oh God, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
It says in one of the chapters of Amos, God is speaking. Who can but prophesy? And I believe we've heard God's word this morning, but he is a speaking God. And he is speaking to us as a church this morning. There are things that he wants to say. It's very, very exciting. And I believe that God wants to demonstrate the gift that Paul's shared so wonderfully with us this morning about. When Elijah or Elisha was stuck for a word, they said, one of the prophets said, fetch me a minstrel. And it wasn't the chocolate. That wasn't the comfort or encouragement he needed. He said, get me a musician. And so a minstrel came, and as they began to praise, God's word came. It says, the word of the Lord came. So we don't have to look for the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord comes to us. And I believe that as we just fix our eyes on Jesus this morning and we start to love and to praise and to worship him, his word will come. Just as the minstrel began to praise, the word of the Lord came. And if you have the word of the Lord this morning, then just come to the front. This is how we'll start this morning. If God gives you something, then just come here to the front. And if there's 3, 4, 5 people, it doesn't really matter. When David Abbott was doing something with the children, teaching them about prophecy, they all stood in a row, and they all had a bit of a sentence. You know, God says, I love you, and the next person, I want to encourage you. And by the time they'd finished, there'd been this amazing prophecy, which they'd all had a little part of. So if God just gives you a small thing, and you just feel the word of the Lord comes to you this morning, just come out here, and then we'll just hear one by one what God has to say. You've got to be brave, haven't you? And you've got to believe. But we're believing here this morning. And it's not perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect. There's that wonderful safety net in God's church, isn't there? But let's worship him and love him now. And just as he begins to speak, just come out to the front and we'll just listen to what God's saying.